I know some people cat people, some people dog people, right? Sometimes the world gets divided like that. Well, Hugh and I, when we were raising our girls, we had both cats and dogs. We had a whole menagerie of animals at sometimes. I want to tell you one of my dog stories. We had a golden retriever named Timmy for his 10 years. He was absolutely wonderful. He was kind of an anchor in our home. But we also had some other dogs come through, and one of them that came through was a Labrador retriever, quite different than a golden. If you know dogs, Labrador retrievers are quite different than golden retrievers. And this Labrador retriever came to us when he was 5 months old, and we had him for a better part of a year. He was a foster dog. And he came with a name. His name was Major. And I tell you, this dog lived up to his name. He was a major addition to our home, our family. And I learned many, many life lessons through Major. He was just a real character of a dog. We got him at 5 months, and after we'd been had him for a couple of weeks, we packed everything up and we headed off to the cottage for the summertime. Four kids, couple of cats, couple of dogs, all the summer stuff, everything, you know, you can imagine. It's all loaded up, and we're heading up to our cottage. We pile everything into this little tin boat that we had to make our way over to where our cottage site was. We arrive at the beach, we start to unload everything. I get the dogs out, jump out of the boat, and I unhook them. I've had them on leashes up until now. So I unhook them. Our Timmy loves the water, and he's in there paddling along, having a great time. Major, puppy, had never seen water before. Well, he just thought this was the best thing ever. He goes in and he starts to splash, and he's in the shallow water, that's great. But then he goes out into the deep water, and I mean, the dog doesn't know how to swim. Timmy was a great little swimmer. He was like this, not Major. Major was splashing and kicking the water up, and he'd jump up to try to catch a drop of water, and he'd be barking as he did it. He just had the best time ever. He thought the water was the best thing he'd ever discovered in his life. Well, we had the summer up there, and Major loved the water every single day. The girls taught him how to run down the dock and then fly off the end of the dock and do a belly flop into the water. Well, I remember the one day we were all done and we were up at the cabin at the end of the day, but Major was still down there, and you'd hear him pound, pound, pound along the dock, pause, and then splat, his belly flop into the water, and then he'd swim around, and he'd do it again and again. He just loved the water. So the summer came to the end, we loaded everything back into the boat again, and we headed back to the city. And the first few days back to the city, the two dogs are sitting in the kitchen looking at me with their heads up, with these mournful eyes. What have I done? I've taken them away from their best thing ever. They were just so morose in the kitchen floor that week. We go down to visit my parents in the city, and my parents have a swimming pool. Now, Major knows nothing about this swimming pool, right? And we drive up in the driveway, and you can't see the pool. There's this big 4-foot iron fence like you have around pools, and then the pool is elevated beyond that. There's a stone retaining wall, and the pool is there. You can't see it, and certainly a little dog down there cannot see it. So we arrive at my parents' place, and I undo the door, and the kids pile out, and I get the dogs out. Well, Major just leaps. He leaps over the iron fence, and he leaps up over the wall, and spat, he's in the swimming pool. He smelled the water. He just loved water. He knew who he was. Deep in his heart, he knew he was a water dog, and that's where he belonged. And I loved that life that Major lived. He knew who he was, and he knew where he belonged. He didn't live a minor, passive, quiet life. He lived a major life, being who he is. He lived with gusto and energy, and I love that. I wanted to take that as I want to live a major life too, knowing who I am and where I belong. And I'd love that for you as well, to know who you are and where you belong and live your life with gusto. One problem I have with it is that we're not dogs. You know, we're not simple dogs. We're complex human beings. And there's all sorts of clutter and chatter in our lives, certainly that stop me, and I think probably stop you too, sometimes from living your major life. You know, we've got the clutter of life, we've got the stuff of life, the things of life, we've got houses and homes and possessions, we've got jobs and responsibilities and families and relationships, all those things out there in life that can clutter us up and keep us from being vibrant and alive. Or we've got the chatter inside our heads, you know? Am I good enough? Am I doing it right? Wait, ooh, am I dressed right? Is my microphone right? Am I going up and down in the right way that I'm supposed to hear? Will everybody like me? You know all that chatter, the self-doubts, the wondering, that chatter that's in our head, too, that stops us from living our very best life. We're human beings, and it's complicated sometimes. Our scriptures today speak into how to live our very best life. I want to take a peek at just two of them. I could do others, but I'm just going to take a peek at the psalm first, Psalm 63. It's a psalm that we attribute to David, and we attribute him to the time that's King David, hoping that you know King David's story there, that big king of Israel. And it's attributed to a time in his life when he had a lot of clutter and a lot of chatter going on. He was in trouble. Absalom was after him. Some things had happened, and he'd been driven out of Jerusalem, and he was out in the desert. He was being hunted. He was being persecuted. There was whirlwind and pressure all around him. Life was difficult for David. And what came out of David was this poetry, this psalm. I long for you, my God. I long for you. I thirst for you. My heart faints for you. I cling to you. You squeeze David, you put him in a crushing situation, and out of him comes this deep yearning for God. So that's kind of one picture. Kind of hold that picture of David there. And then we have in the gospel, we have Jesus speaking into some current tragedies. You know, things that they'd be chattering about. Something had happened that was a state with Pilate, a state-driven terror thing that sounds awful. And then one of those tragedies, this tower falling down, that sounds awful too. And no doubt people were talking about these things like we talk about our news today. And Jesus responds to them in a couple of ways. He says right away, don't think these people died as a punishment from God. Don't even go there. Don't let that chatter in your head take you to blaming God and mismanagement of the universe. And don't let that chatter take you to the place that these people did something to deserve the death. Don't let that chatter happen. Like right away, he speaks into the negative chatter that can fluffer up in us around stuff. And he says again, he talks about repentance. And it's a word I'd just like to pause on for a minute, because I don't know all of you well enough to know what you're like or what your understanding is, but I went through a season of life for me when I did not like that word repent. Oh, I just don't like it. It reminded me like of a soapbox and the old man repent and be saved on a soapbox somewhere, or the TV evangelist to say repent and be saved and give me your money. It became loaded with a lot of negativity for me. But the actual word that's there is a very, very beautiful word that I've come to just love. It's the word metanoia, and it means to go beyond. It means it's to get out of any little box that you're in, imprisoned in. Break out the barriers of that box, go beyond, have a bigger mind, a deeper mind, a new perspective. It's a word that was used in Greek to, you know when you're running a race and there's a finish line and the racers charge over that finish line and then they begin to go in another direction, they begin to slow down and they begin to slow down a little bit. Metanoia is used to describe that. They've burst through the barrier and they're going another direction and they're even slowing down. Jesus is saying to these people, so you have these tragedies and stuff like that going on in your life. Don't get caught in that negative box. You need another way to live. You need another way to think, another way to be, a way that is bigger, a way that is different. That's what you need to do. He's calling them into a deeper and richer and more beautiful life. In a sense, he's kind of putting the sufferings of the world smack dab in their face because he's having them look at those awful things. But then he's saying, don't be stopped by the confusion, by the clutter, by the chatter of life. Don't let that contain you. Move through it into a new way to live. He's calling them to wake up. To wake up spiritually. Don't live a minor life, live a major life. Be awake spiritually. And there's a whole lot of ways that we can wake up spiritually, but he's using one particular way there that is probably the most common way, and probably some of you here have stories that could back this way of waking up. We wake up spiritually. We move from a minor life to a major life. Often through a crisis, often through something dreadful happening in our life, something that we would never wish on anybody or on ourselves. I can name them, can't I? A marriage falls apart. Kids go astray. A business fails. Health issues come up. You know, a death of someone you deeply treasure and value. Ugh. We could go to airline crashes and typhoons and mass shootings in places of worship. Things happen. Life is fragile. And Jesus wants us to live with that awareness that life is fragile. Because that awareness helps us wake up and helps us live a full and major life. I'm sure many of you here have stories about how a crisis came into your life and suddenly everything was different for you. You've never been the same again. It may be the very reason why you're here this morning. So from these scriptures, I would take two things as suggestions for you. One is this little purple box of surrender. I think you have something in your leaflets. We've had them the last few weeks, and you'll have some time of silence and quietness if you want to write something out. Maybe there's a surrender for you to write out. It can be the same thing each week. You know that, don't you? I sure hope you know that. You can write out the same surrender each week and put it in. That's quite valid and quite good. It may be surrendering some old crisis that's been in your past, that you need to find a new way to think about it, where you don't blame anybody and you're not the victim yourself, where you find a new way to look at something difficult that's happened to you in the past. Maybe it's surrendering some of the clutter that you're clinging to or some of the chatter that just is in you all the time. So one way of responding today is to do a surrender. Let something go. Break through that barrier, repent even of it, and get into a new life, a new space, a new way of being. So surrender's one. The second way I'd name significance, and here I come back to David and his psalm. When David was in his pressure point there, what he did was a very beautiful spiritual practice. He went to the significance of God in his life. When I lie on my bed at night, he said, I remember your kindness. In another translation, it says, I behold your glory in the sanctuary. Significance. Where in your life have you encountered God? Had one of those moments of connection, of wholeness, of peace deep within, where you felt the kindness of God? Maybe it's in a worship time. Maybe it's in conversations with people. Maybe out in nature. A wonderful practice, you can't get a better practice, I don't think, in life, is last thing at night when you're lying in bed at night. Remember the goodness of God that you've encountered through the day. You might not right away name it as God, but remember the goodness and then say thank you to God. Let that be your way of going to bed at night. So maybe today it's about surrender. Maybe today it's about collecting significances. Maybe. I'm going to give you a little bit of moment of silence, a minute of silence to ponder that. And then we're going to sing As a Deer. And I'm going to invite you just to stay seated in your seats, and we'll sing it reflectively, As the Deer Pants for the Water. I loved my dog, Major. He was so well named. He just lived life with such a gusto. And in my imagination, I imagine what it would be like if all of us lived with such gusto. If we lived beyond the clutter and beyond the chatter. If we knew who we were and whose we were. That we're the beloved ones. That you are deeply and dearly loved by God. No matter what hardship of life we encounter, that we live no longer entangled by the past or present difficulties, but we choose to live with gusto today, trusting that we're loved and that we're not alone. Surrender, significance. How will you live this day?